The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. Quandary Phase.
Hyperspace Planning Council. As you no doubt be aware, the plans for development of the outlying regions of the galaxy require the building of a hyperspatial express route through your star system. And regrettably, your planet is one of those scheduled for demolition, blah, 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 blah. You must know the drill by now.
Stylish piece of admonition, that.
Don't push it.
Vogons are unpleasant enough to gaze upon in their youth, and the passing years do nothing to enhance their appearance. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has a neat little animation showing how the highly domed nose rising above their small green-skinned foreheads tends to develop growths, sprouting tufts of coarse hair in middle age. Their voices and social skills are similarly prone to decay. All Vogons, particularly those of the prosthetic class and above, rise to power not so much by merit as by sheer thick-willed slug-brain stubbornness and quite a lot of shouting. And any appeal to their better nature is, by definition, flogging a dead Equinusian pack beast.
This is the Canis Minor Supreme Pontiff. There is some mistake. Please remove your ships from orbit.
Oh, the same old. All the planning charts have been on display in your local planning department in Ganymede for 27 of your stellar orbits, so you might as well just shut up.
Sir.
But I have...
Sir.
Hold the line, please, caller.
But...
What?
Sir, a priority message for Mega Brantis.
Did anyone order you to come barging in here without knocking? Did they? Now, go out, go back to the communication deck and start again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Evolution gave up on the Vogons at almost the precise moment they emerged from the primeval seas of Vogsphere, panting, heaving, and demanding a towel. In turn, the Vogons said to themselves, who needs evolution anyway? And what nature refused to do for them, they did without, until their myriad anatomical deficiencies could be rectified with surgery. Their planet was developing fairly significant hygiene issues with the ensuing membrane mountains and liposuction lakes when the Vogons suddenly discovered the principles of interstellar travel and migrated to the Megabrantis cluster, the political hub of the galaxy. Bureaucracy is a parasite that preys on free thought and suffocates free spirit. And the Vogons love bureaucracy above all things. Thus, within a few short Vogue years, the philosophers who once governed the galaxy were banished to the tax return office to lick stamps. And now the Galactic Civil Service, like everything else, is a strictly Vogon operation.
Come!
Sir,
Have you washed your hands?
No.
Good. Now, what's the message?
Right. What is it now?
Prosthetic Vogon Jelts is fairly typical of his species, in that he started his career being thoroughly vile and has now worked his way up to utterly hateful, especially to other Vogons.
Hurry up, or I shall read you one of my poems. A long one which doesn't scan.
Oh, yes, sir. A priority message from Mega Brantis. It appears there is a problem. Highway crew were just surveying the ZZ9 Plura Z Alpha route, and there's a planet in the way, sir, called Earth.
No, there isn't. I blew up that planet myself. I took it out as neat as you like.
We are to proceed back to Mega Brantis at once and report, sir.
I give the orders around here. Thank me?
What for?
For not losing my temper with you.
Thank you so much.
Oi, I didn't order you to die.
You, aboard the Vogon Constructor Fleet. Are you still listening? We've checked our records and I can assure you our planet is not to be...
Sorry, this window is now closed. Particle cannon!
Particle cannon. Aye, sir. Vaporize or rubble, oh, sir.
Lady's choice.
You're so good to me, sir.
Far out in the uncharted backwaters of the unfashionable end of the western spiral arm of the galaxy lies a small, unregarded yellow sun. Orbiting this at a distance of roughly 92 million miles was once an utterly insignificant little blue-green planet whose ape-descended life forms were so amazingly primitive that they thought novelty ringtones were a pretty neat idea. The planet had a problem, which was this. Most of the people on it were unhappy for pretty much of the time. A lot of them were mean, and the majority were miserable, even the ones whose cell phones were set to vibrate. Many were increasingly of the opinion that they'd all made a big mistake in coming down from the trees in the first place, and some said that even the trees had been a bad move, and that no one should ever have left the oceans. And then one Thursday, a girl sitting on her own in a small cafe in Rickmansworth suddenly realized what it was that had been going wrong all this time, and saw how the world could be made a good and happy place. However, before she could switch on her cell phone to tell anyone, the Earth was unexpectedly demolished to make way for a new hyperspace bypass, and the idea was lost forever. Or so it seemed, for that is not the end of her story. It picks up again in a field by the A303 in Somerset, England. The local weather forecast predicts a balmy evening with clear skies and light breezes. The hitchhiker aboard the spacecraft, which has just made an unscheduled stop here, is thus reassured to find that this being England, clouds are gathering and a thunderstorm is fast approaching.
Very kind of you. Thank you very much. An excellent ship for a teaser. Deceptively roomy in the back. Cheerio then. Yes, sorry about that. I had to hang my pyjamas on something. I didn't realise it was your girlfriend.
If you were to take the findings of the latest mid-galactic census report as any kind of guide, you might guess that this spacecraft would hold about 6 people at a stretch, and you would be right. The census report, like most such surveys, has cost an awful lot of money, and doesn't tell anybody anything they don't already know, except that every single person in the galaxy has 2.4 legs and owns a hyena. Since this is clearly not true, the whole thing will eventually be scrapped. Arthur Dent is strictly two-legged and does not own a hyena that he knows of. However, he has managed to hitchhike across the galaxy from a pleasant if dull exile on the planet Cricket to his home planet Earth. The fact that he's not had to resort to time travel to arrive at a planet which should no longer exist is one he's decided to ignore for the time being. Suffice to say that Arthur is a little older, his dressing gown a little grubbier, and he is carrying a large plastic shopping bag which he will shortly discover has a big hole in the bottom.
Oh, typical.
Arthur managed to replace his increasingly smelly homemade rabbit skin pouch with this odourless but significantly less intact receptacle several days and some 1,500 light-years distant at a stopover in the Port Brasta mega market. At the same time, he took the opportunity to raise some cash by selling all the blood, sperm and hair cuttings he could survive without to the less fussy medical, reproductive and dandruff research establishments. He also routinely updated his copy of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Please wait. This entry is being updated over the sub-ethernet.
The update triggered an alert which stopped him in his tracks.
Suffering Zarkon!
Distracted by the consequently urgent need to find a ride, Arthur grabbed this bag without looking. It's a plastic carrier with a clever and elaborate pun in Lingua Centauri on its side. A marketing slogan which reads, to anyone who can decipher it, be like the 22nd elephant with heated value in space. Bark.
Hello?
What are you?
I'm sorry. My towel must still be somewhere aboard. It's fallen out of the hole in this bag.
The cops!
Your girlfriend is a hat stand and my mattress smelled of swamp!
The Earth is a world whose entire entry in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy comprises the two words, mostly harmless. The author of this entry is named Ford Prefect, and he is, at this precise moment, far away, on a far-from-harmless world, sitting in a far-from-harmless bar, recklessly courting trouble. One of those nasty hushes has descended on the place, a sort of missile crisis hush, broken only by the evil-looking bird perched on the bar, continually screeching the names of local contract killers.
Kick-ass McFist, 555-87652.
All eyes are on Ford Prefect. Some of them are on stalks, literally.
Like I said, we don't take it.
This is an American Express card. It's the finest way of settling bills known to man. You're supposed to say, "That'll do nicely, sir," and swipe it.
It may do nicely where you come from, Sonny, but here, it don't.
Kai Apperoon, 555-83645.
What kind of clip joint is this? You present me with a drinks bill that would bankrupt a Triganic pew collector, then demand cash.
Asking for credit in the old pink dog.
Ha! Credit?
Credit and ah! Two words that go together, coupled with "you're gonna die, boy."
Charlie Headpunter, 555-9360!
Will you take your hand off my throat?
It's not my hand. It belonged to the original landlord. He left it to medical science. They didn't like the look of it, so they gave it back to the bar.
I can't pay with a seven hand strangling me!
Release! I know your face.
So, let's not rearrange it, right? I want you always to remember me this way.
You've pulled this before.
Snyder, again, 555.
Can you get that bloody bird to shut up?
Certainly.
Thank you.
Don't thank me. You're next.
Tell you what, let me have a look at that bill again, would you? Oh, I really drank all this, did I?
An hour ago, you said the drinks were on you. And the pimps get very thirsty round here.
The way I see it, I've made a bona fide attempt to pay my bill, and it's been rejected. You're just going to have to come up with a better idea.
We used to have a sign in here. Please don't ask for credit, because having your throat torn out by a savage bird while a disembodied hand smashes your head against a bar often offends.
Why'd you take it down?
A reputation was enough. A reputation I have to maintain.
Oh, well. If it's your reputation you're worried about, how about this?
You're from the...
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Want a write-up?
That'll do nicely, sir.
Standing forlornly by an English A road, which until recently he thought extinct, Arthur Dent has attempted with limited success to simultaneously wring out his soaked dressing gown, keep dry under a souvenir wicket gate jogging towel, and keep a hopeful thumb stuck out. The rain begins to fall more heavily, but Salvation is about to pull up, stenciled on several sides. McKenna's all-weather haulage.
Need a lift?
Yes, please.
Hop in then!
Oh, aye, you're soaking!
I wasn't until a Porsche drenched me.
Bloody Porsche drivers, hate them. I've been blocking him for the last 20 miles. He was taking out on you.
You do that to make your job more enjoyable?
No, I do it because I'm a miserable bastard, and I know it. Rob McKenna.
Arthur Dent.
I know it because people keep pointing it out to me. Don't see any reason to disagree with them, except that I like disagreeing with people, especially people I don't like, which includes most people. Well,
certainly bucketing down.
Oh, bucketing down, yes, that's a good one. Yes, hand me that notebook, won't you? I'll write that down.
A good what?
Rain type 232 bucketing down.
Would you rather I write it while you concentrate on your drink?
And you pluck!
These rain types, they're all just as wet as each other. Surely it's just rain.
Just rain? You tell that to the dolphins. Did you know that the Eskimos have over 200 different words for snow?
Really?
Right. Thin snow and thick snow. Light snow and heavy snow. Sludgy snow, brittle snow. Snow that comes in flurries. Snow that comes in drifts. Snow that comes in on the bottom of your neighbour's boots, all over your nice clean igloo floor. The snow's of winter and the snow's of spring. The snows you remember from your childhood that were so much better than any of the modern snow. Fine snow, feathery snow. Hill snow, valley snow. Snow that falls in the morning. Snow that falls at night. And snow that falls just when you were going out fishing and even though you've trained them not to do it. Snow your huskies have... pissed on.
Oh. And you've worked out there are 200 different types of rain.
231. 232 now. I write them down in this book.
Oh, I'm impressed.
And I don't like any of them. And I'll tell you the ones I hate the most.
Like I could stop you.
April showers. Bloody April showers. Heat, heat, heat.
But they're light and refreshing. Or at least I seem to remember they are. Rather nice, in fact.
Nice! If it's going to be nice, I want it to be nice without bloody raining. Since I left Denmark yesterday, I've been through 7 different types of April showers. Type 33, that was west of Copenhagen, look it up.
Light pricking drizzle, which makes roads slippery.
Type 39.
Heavy spotting.
And types 47 to 51.
Vertical light drizzle through to sharply slanting light to moderate drizzle freshening. Yes. Are we on the Taunton Road?
We were. Long past the turning now.
Ah, only that's near where I wanted to go. Cottington.
Good place to get out of, if you ask me.
Only I think I must have been on the wrong side of the road when you picked me up. I was trying to get back there, you see.
Did you have any kind of a plan when you started hitchhiking?
No. Well, survival, really. It was a long time ago.
I can see that. Did you grow that beard for a bit?
Look, can you drop me here? There's a lay-by. Look.
A flippin'.
Thank you.
Sorry.
You're sorry.
It's gonna take me hours to get your pong out of here.
Been away too long from running water, that's my problem. The rain stopped, just like that. How strange. Oh well.
All Arthur Dent knows at this moment is that the rain clouds which scud away in the lorry's wake are allowing him to dry off at last. All Rob McKenna knows is that the weeks he spends on the roads are wet and miserable and that he cannot remember his last sunny holiday. All the clouds know is that they love him and they want to be near him, to cherish him, to nurture and to water him. For Rob McKenna is, in fact, a rain god.
Oh, blast! It started again! Ah! Headlights! Smile. Thumb out. Hello! Are you passing Taunton by any...
Ow! You've got me on the wrong bloody way now!
The rain leaves so much surface water that Arthur is drenched in turn by several cars.
Oh, God!
At last, a Saab pulls up. Its driver's name is Russell, and his sister in the back seat is taking no part in the proceedings at present.
Have you come far?
Yes. Well... No, well, from a field over there. I mean, yes, actually, I...
Open the door and get in, for goodness sake!
Excuse me, madam, I'm looking for the best route to be...
Oh, hello, handsome. Want to have a good time?
Thanks, I just had one.
You don't know what you're missing.
Yeah, but think of the fun I'll have imagining it.
Hello, darling. You rich?
Do I look rich?
Don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you'll get rich. I do a very special service for rich people.
Oh, yes? And what's that?
I tell them it's okay to be rich.
Tell me that again.
It's my big number. I have a master's degree in social economics, and I can be very convincing. People love it, especially in this city. Uh-oh, look out!
Sucking fodwats, now they're throwing people out of windows at me. I settled the bar bill.
It's only a bass player. Probably got shot by his drummer for forgetting the riff.
It's a bit lively round here, isn't it?
One police tribe sets off the block alarm so that they can lay an ambush for the other police tribe. The copters come in and pick off rookies. Or the musicians.
What the hell? Ow! Like drummers?
No. Targeting drummers is part of their public service remit.
Goosenark, time for a drop of that old jank spirit.
Can you spare me some? I'm freezing in this guard.
Ah, I was going to compliment you on the belt. Here, wipe the top with this towel first.
Oh, good idea. Kill the germs on the bottle.
No, to kill the germs on the towel, they've been building up quite a complex and enlightened civilization on the smellier patches.
Mm, right.
As it happens, I'm owed a lot of money. If I ever get hold of it, I could come and see you then.
Sure, I'll be here. So how much is a lot?
15 years back pay.
Oh, do you work on your back too?
No, I was reviewing a planet. It was only 2 words. I wrote a lot more, but they cut it down. Then the planet got demolished. They've still got to pay me, though.
Who have?
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
You work for that thing? Soft number.
You want to see my entry before it gets erased? The new revisions must be out by now. You can't escape their notice forever that the Earth has been demolished.
Strut your stuff, honey.
Yeah.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Earth. Mostly harmless.
Please wait.
Here we go.
This entry is being updated over the sub-Ethernet.
It started.
The system will be down for a measurable period.
Goodbye, Earth. I'll miss your residuals.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Earth. Mostly harmless, but with some uniquely civilized places to visit.
No way.
Hey, you got the time? I got the money.
Tips for aliens in New York.
I don't believe it.
Look, I'm a working girl and there's
Land
a client.
Anywhere,
gotta
Central
go.
Park, Tribeca,
if you get that money, look me up. You'll need me.
Yeah, I wrote this.
Hello, darling.
Get a job as a cab driver immediately. Rich? Don't worry if you don't know how the machine works or can't speak the language and have large green antennae growing out of your head.
But what's it doing in the guide?
In fact, this is the best way of staying inconspicuous. Amphibious life forms will particularly enjoy the East River.
This is a planet I saw completely destroyed with my own 2 eyes. Only Arthur Dent and I escaped, and only just.
How to have a good time in Bournemouth, Dorset, England. One of the most exciting places on any world in the known galaxy.
And one of the most baroque pieces of invention I ever delivered. Something very weird is happening. And if something very weird is happening, I want it to be happening to me. Now this will do nicely.
Bushin, you are picking the lock of a hand-doing law enforcement doctor.
I know.
Bird, as you have overridden my alarm circuits, I am powerless to stop you.
You're right.
I was on my way to meet a friend in some far-flung bar when I discovered I still had a home to come back to. So it could have been a lot further. But even so, I'd say about 1,437 light-years.
I'm sorry?
You were asking how far I'd come.
Sorry, I missed what you said.
Oh, there's someone in the back seat. Who is it?
My sister.
Is she all right?
You all right, Fenny?
Fenny?
Yeah, that'll be the drugs.
And that's all right, is it?
Fine by me. Why do you keep staring at her like that? She's not a junkie or anything. She's under sedation.
Is she ill?
No, just barking mad. Don't worry, it doesn't run in the family.
What?
She's loopy. Completely tonked up. I'm taking her back to the hospital so they can have another go. This is your town, isn't it? Taunton?
Yes. No!
Well, make your mind up.
My house is another 5 miles, if that's all right.
Okay.
Tell me more about, Fenny.
Delusions. It started with all that business when everybody had the hallucinations, you remember?
No.
She was in a cafe somewhere. Rickmansworth. Apparently she stood up, calmly announced that she'd undergone some revelation or something, wobbled a bit, and then collapsed screaming into an egg sandwich.
But when you say everybody had hallucinations...
The big yellow ships in the sky announcing the end of the world, remember? Everyone going crazy and saying we're gonna die and then pop, they vanished. The authorities denied it, of course, which meant it must be true.
They vanished?
Anyway, whatever drug it was that MI5 or the CIA or whoever it was put into the water supply or whatever it was, they didn't seem to wear off so fast with Fenny.
The Vogon... the yellow ships... vanished?
Well, of course they did! They were hallucinations.
What? Fenny, is she all right?
Would you please let go of the handbrake?
Sorry. Oh, look. That seems to be my house.
Unidentified police copter, spaceport air traffic. Alter course. The interplanetary shuttle is departing.
Hello, air traffic. Life has suddenly furnished me with a serious goal to achieve. I have new responsibilities. And that shuttle's not leaving without me. Hey! Hold the gangway! One Plus Tower coming aboard!
Excuse me, sir, do you have a reservation?
No, but I have an American Express card.
Oh, I need to check that.
Cabin crew, secure pressure doors is trapping for liftoff.
I think you need to find me a seat first.
Were you wanting a Dentressy storage bin or first-class massage chair with in-flight holovid-free novelty ringtone downloads?
Yes, please.
What possible purpose in life could inspire Ford Prefect more than drinking a lot and dancing with girls? Is Arthur Dent finally home for good? And how will the reappearance of Earth disrupt the Vogon's traffic-calming initiative? The next episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy resolutely refuses to be ignored, discarded, or dropped out of a plastic carrier bag. In that episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams, William Franklin was the book. Simon Jones played Arthur Dent, Jeffrey McGiven, Ford Prefect, Bill Patterson, Rob McKenna, and Jane Horrocks was Fenchurch. Arthur Smith was the barman, Rupert Degas, Russell, Bob Golding, the Vogon guard, Alison Pettit, the stewardess, Fiona Carew, the hooker, Michael Kuehl, the Vogon helmsman, Chris Emmett, the evil-looking bird, and Toby Longworth was prosthetic Vogon Jelts. The announcer was John Marsh, the script editor was John Langdon, and the music was by Paul Wicks Wickens. The programme was adapted, directed, and co-produced by Dirk Maggs. The producers were Helen Chatwell and Bruce Hyman, and it was an above-the-title production for BBC Radio 4. For those listeners whose income exceeds 15,000 Triganic pews per annum, regardless of orbital duration, wealth counselling is now available at a reasonable rate by the fire hydrant outside the old Pink Dog Bar in Handold City, just under the sign saying, "New bar bird wanted, knowledge of local hitmen vitally necessary."